Brachos Yud Gimel. We start in the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Beis Amud Beis. The Mishnah begins with Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos. The mentioning of Yitzias Mitzrayim, remembering Yitzias Mitzrayim every day, is a mitzvah of the Torah. And the Mishnah over here is going to deliberate whether or not there is a mitzvah additionally to not only say during the day, but to say it at night as well. Mishnah starts off, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Leilos. The Tanakhama of our Mishnah says that you do mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at night. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Harenik ben Shim Shana. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that I'm like 70 years of age. B'lo Zechisi Shetam Yitzias Mitzrayim B'Leilos. And I didn't have the zechus to understand why it is that Yitzias Mitzrayim should be said at night. Ad Shadarsha ben Zoma. Until ben Zoma Darshan the following. Shanamar Laman Tizkor Yom Tzeis Chamerit Mitzrayim. Kol Yimei Chayecha. The Pasuk says that in order so that you remember the Exodus from Egypt, all of your days. Yemei Chayecha Yemim. Yemei Chayecha is a reference to your days. Kol Yemei Chayecha is a reference to all of your days, which includes Halelos, that includes a night as well. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, there's a mitzvah for Zechiras, Yitzias, Mitzrayim, both day and night. V'chachamim Romim, Yemei Chayecha Lamazeh, Kol Lavi Yomos Mashiach. The Chachamim also darshan, but their drasha takes them to a different direction. And that is that the Yemei Chayecha is a reference to this world, but the Kol is a reference to the Yemos HaMashiach. Rashi makes a number of points over here. Rashi on the Mishnah. The first Rashi on the Mishnah, Maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim Balelos, Parshat Yitzias for Kriyashma. So when exactly are we doing the mitzvah of Yitzias Mitzrayim at night? So Rashi says it's incorporated in the third paragraph of Shema. V'alfa Bishayin Lailas Mansiyatzis. Now it's true that if it were just for Tzitzis alone, so there would be no reason to include the third paragraph of Shema. Nighttime is just simply not the time for tzitzis. Tichsivarisa Moso, the pasuk says that you have to see them. Uzachartam to remember. Omrim. Oso balayla minnei yitzias mitzrayim Shabbat. So the only reason why we would add and include the third paragraph of Shema would be for the purpose of zichiras yitzias mitzrayim. And that's when we would be masker at night. Another Rashi that is of interesting note, and that is Rav Elazar ben Azariah says that he's like 70 years of age. What is this making reference to? So, in 3 weeks' time from now, we will be going through the story in detail. But just to make quick reference of it over here, Rashi writes, Kvar yisi nira zaken. I look like an old man, v'lo zaken mamish, but I'm not really old, says Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Shabbat alai seva yom she'avir Rabbi Gamliel min nesia so. On the day that Rabbi Gamliel was deposed from being the leader of the Jewish people, so Rav Elazar ben Azariah was installed, and on that day, he aged dramatically. Well, Mina Rav Elazar ben Azariah Nasi, he was appointed. Kidis Lakam and Berk Tvilas HaShachar, we're going to see that in Daf Chav Ches. V'osayim Darsh Ben Zoma Mikrazeh, and it was on that very day that Ben Zoma Darsh in the Pasuk. And so, that's the intent of Hare Ani Keven Shivim Shana, I am like 70 years of age. What we have in our Mishnah is a machlokas between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and the Chachamim. There is a mitzvah to say and to mention Yitzias Mitzrayim on a daily basis. Is it day or is it day and night? And that's machlokas in the Mishnah. Tanya, the Gemara starts with the following brisa. Amalem ben Zomla Chachamim v'chi maskirin Yitzias Mitzrayim l'yemos Mashiach. We get in this brisa a rebuttal. This is now the Chachamim rebutting Ben Zoma. Other way around. This is Ben Zoma rebutting the Chachamim. So what do you mean that we're going to be mentioning Yitzias Mitzrayim during the Yemos HaMashiach? V'lo kvar namar. It's not true, and we have a pasuk in Yirmiyahu that says it's not true. Hinei yamin ba'im num Hashem v'lo yamru od chai Hashem asher ha'alaz b'nei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim kim chai Hashem asher ha'alav asher ha'viyat zera b'es Yisrael meretz fona mikol ha'artzos asher hidachtim sham. The pasuk says in Yirmiyahu that we're no longer going to mention that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim, but rather when we get to the Geula, when we get to Yemos HaMashiach, all we're going to talk about is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us from all the worlds, all parts of the world, in order to bring us back together with Mashiach. And so Yitzias Mitzrayim will be an afterthought. That's the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Ben Zoma says, how could you suggest otherwise? Amru lo, the Chachamim say back to Ben Zoma, lo. Shetei akir Yitzias Mitzrayim imkoma. It's not that the Yitzias Mitzrayim is going to be totally uprooted from its place. Ela shetei shibar machios. Take of Yitzias Mitzrayim tafalo. It just simply will be subordinate. The main geula that will be discussed after Yemos HaMashiach will be Mashiach. And the Gulas of Mashiach. But after that, Yitzias Mitzrayim will be mentioned. Admittedly, it will take a secondary role in terms of its prominence, but still it's there. So Kayotza Ba'atomer, he says, I'll give you a number of examples of this idea where something is going to take a backseat, a secondary role. So Atomer lo yikara shimcha o Yaakov kim Yisrael yeshmecha. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu renames Yaakov, and he says, your name is now going to be Yisrael from this point going forward. Lo she ye akir Yaakov mimkamo. It's not that the name Yaakov is going to be uprooted from its place. El Yisrael ikar Yaakov tafalo. Yisrael is going to be the main name, and Yaakov is just going to be subordinate to that main name. V'cheinu omer. I'll give you another example. Al tizkaru rishonos v'kadmonios. Al tizbonenu al tizbonenu. The pasuk in Yeshayahu, which the Gemara now is going to explain in Darshan, Al tizkaru rishonos zushi ben machios. You're not going to be mentioning anymore the earlier Shibud. That's a reference to the Shibud Machios. And the Kadmonios al tizbonenu zu yitzias Mitzrayim. And we're not going to mention anymore the Exodus from Egypt. And then the pasuk here in Yeshayahu concludes by saying, I'm going to make for you something new, something that's going to sprout out from the ground. And Tina Rav Yosef zu mechamas Gog u'Magog. It's going to be a reference to the mecham of Gog u'Magog. So, no longer are we going to have recollections of the earlier Shibudim, but rather that of the most recent, that of Gog u'Magog. Marshal Ma Davidoma, a comparison, an analogy. Adam Shayam Alech Bederach, a person was walking the way, Upagabo Zaev, and he was confronted with a wolf, and Nitzo Mimenu, and he was saved, Vayam Asaper Vaolech. The stories that he told from that point going forward, oh, the wolf was so scary, and he told everybody the story with the wolf. Maisa Zaev, I'm sorry, Vaolech Maisa Zaev. Pagabo Ari. Now, in his next confrontation, he met up with a lion. He was there from the lion. And he told everyone about the lion. In other words, the lion, relative to the wolf, was a much bigger Yeshua. And it was much more exciting. And it makes for better storytelling. And it's most recent in his memory. So, Pagam Nachash. Now, if he confronts the snake, he's there from the snake. He's going to forget about the wolf. He's going to forget about the lion. All he's going to talk about is the Nachash. Vayam esaper v'olech ma'isa Nachash. Av kol Yisrael. Av kach Yisrael. Saros achronos mishkachosos rishonos. And so too, the more recent Saros are going to just simply overshadow the earlier Saros. But it's not the pshat that the earlier Saros are gone. They're just simply going to be overshadowed. They're only going to take a secondary role, but they're not going to be totally forgotten. And so that is Ben Zoma's comparison to that of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Yes, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu does describe how we are no longer going to be talking about Yetzias Mitzrayim, but that doesn't mean gone and forgotten. It just simply means overshadowed. As long as we brought up that Yaakov's name was changed, but Yaakov itself still remains a viable name, admittedly it takes a secondary role, the Gemara now is going to give other examples of other names that were gone and removed forever. Avram who? Avraham. B'tchila nasa avla Aram. Now originally Avraham was called Avram because he was a prince le'Aram, to the country of Aram. Certainly sounds like from our Gemara that he comes from the land of Aram. Rashi over here supports that. Rashi, you see, la'anshe medina so sheme eretz Aram hayav. Avram was from Aram. Shenemra be'evra anar yashua v'sechem. Va'omer el Aram naharayim el ir nachor. So Rashi cites a number of proofs that Avram was in fact from the city of the country of Aram. U'v'sof na'aseh av l'chol ha'olam. And then he becomes a leader of the entire world, kulo. And that's why the name from Avram to Avraham is a forward-moving name. It does not go back, and Avram is no longer a name that is employed in describing our patriarch. Sarai, he, Sarah. B'tchila na'aseh Sarai. Originally, Sarah's name was Sarai. Le'umasa. And Sarai means that she was a prince, and she was a prince only for her nation. The word Sarai, says Rashi, is Lashon Yachid. It's an individual language. She was only the princess of one country. And then she becomes a princess, a queen for the entire world. And so that's why the name becomes changed irrevocably. Tinibar Kapara Kolakoril Avram Avram over Base. So you make the mistake of calling Avraham by his original name, so you're in violation of the positive commandment. Shenemra v'ayeshimcha Avraham. The pasuk says, and your name should now be Avraham. So that means to say that there's a positive instruction. And the Gemara over here, it's an interesting Gemara, not only for Avraham, but a positive instruction for Klal Yisrael. That from this point going forward, when making reference to our first patriarch, we call him Avraham and not his original name. Rabbi Lazar Omer over Belav. Rabbi Lazar says, once in violation of Malav, Shenemra v'lo yikare odes shimcha Avram, Avram. And the pasuk not only phrases it as a positive commandment, but there's also a pasuk there that describes it as a lav, as a negative prohibition. Elamiata akori l'sara sarai hachinami. And is it going to be the same ramifications for describing Sarah by Sarai? So hasam kuchabruchu amar lavraham sarai ishtacha lo sikare ishma sarai ki sarah shma. So, no. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was saying to Avram, you're no longer going to refer to her as Sarai, but rather as Sarah. So as a result of that, her name was not irrevocably changed. Elamiata Akorli Yaakov Yaakov Hachanami. So the Gemara says, well, if we describe Yaakov as Yaakov, is it not going to be the case that we are going to be in violation? Shani Hasam Da Hadre Kra. So the Gemara says, no, not going to be in violation because the Torah itself keeps describing him as Yaakov. Dechsiv, the pasuk says, Vayomer Elokim Yisrael Bemar Salayla Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov. So you see that the Torah, even after the change has been made, the Torah itself still describes Yaakov with the name Yaakov. It is a viable name. It takes a secondary role, but it's still a name. Meisav Rav Yossi Bar Avin V'item Rav Yossi Bar Zvida Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Bachadta BeAvram. So we have a pasuk in Nehemiah describing Avraham by his original name, and isn't that a violation of either an asay or a lo sasay? Amalei hasam navihu dekamisad lo shvachid rechmana my dava mikara. So he answered, no, that is the Navi. That's the pasuk in Nehemiah. That's the Navi who's just simply praising a Kadosh Baruch Hu, going over what happened historically. So he's relating the history. So obviously when you're describing Avram by his original name and you're talking about historically what was his name beforehand, so obviously you can identify him as Avram. But to call him now as the name Avram, so that's either a violation of Aseh or that's a prohibition of a lav. Hajalach Me'emesai, that is the end of the first parak of our Masechta, and we begin the second parak. As we pointed out, the first three prakim of our Masechta are going to be focused on the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. And so here we begin now the second parak with a continuation of the discussion of Kriya Shema. The first point of the Mishnah, Yakori B'Torah V'Gizman HaMikra. Let's say you're reading in the Torah, and it happens to be that in terms of the time, it's morning. In terms of where you're reading in the Torah, you're reading the Parsha of Shema. And so you are now happen to be reading the Parsha of Shema in the morning, but you didn't have intention to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. You just happened to be reading the Torah at that point in time. The Mishnah says, Im kivein libo yatsa. So if you have kavana, you're yotze. Now, what exactly does that mean? The simplest pshat in the Mishnah is that you need kavana. Meaning, right now you are haphazardly reading the Chumash. You had no intention of fulfilling the mitzvah. And the simplest way to read the Mishnah is that in order for you to fulfill the mitzvah, you have to have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema in order for this to work. That is a simple reading. The Gemara is going to give a different reading to the Mishnah as well. Biprakim, we are now going to be talking about any interruptions that can be made while you're saying the Shema. The Shema is made up of three paragraphs. There's also Berachos Shema as well. And so, during the Shema, the Berachos of Kriya Shema, can there be any interruptions that are made? And the answer is going to be on a limited basis, and it's going to be a machlokas of the Tanayim, exactly to what degree is there going to be an interruption that is allowed during the Shema. The Mishnah starts off. Biprakim here means that you're between the paragraphs. The Mishnah later on is going to tell us exactly where we are holding between the paragraphs. So, Shol Mimnei Kavanah Meshiv. So, one is allowed to inquire because of honor, meaning there's somebody that you have to give honor to, and he's an Adam Nechbad, he's an important person, and there's a requirement to not only respond to him, but to extend Shalom to him. So, if you're between paragraphs, so you can extend Shalom to him. Umeshiv, and you could return as well. The Gemara later on is going to ask the question, if you can initiate a hello, so obviously you could respond to him as well. The Gemara is going to ask that question. Uve emtsa. Now, if you're in the middle of a paragraph, shol mimnei ayira umeshiv divrei meir. So our meir says that at this point in time, you're in the middle of a paragraph, so the only thing that is going to allow you to make an interruption is only yira. Yira means a person that you are afraid of. Rashi says it's not just somebody intimidating, it's somebody who has power over you. Rashi writes, Mimnei Yira Adam Shu Yare Mi Panav Shalo Yirhaguhu Avamnei Kavalos. Rashi really amps up in terms of the definition of Yira. It's somebody that you're so afraid of that your life will be in danger if you offend him or you slight him. So, Bitsoch HaPerek, Bamsa HaPerek, so you can stop and you can extend a hello to him even though you're in the middle of a paragraph of Shema. And also Meshiv, and you can respond to him as well. And again, the Gemara later on is going to be asking the same question. Well, if I can initiate the greeting, so obviously I can respond to him. That seemingly is a superfluous point of Rav Meir. All this is different Rav Meir. This is the opinion of Rav Meir. So to put it succinctly, Rav Meir right now has basically two levels, Kavod and Yira. So for Kavod, between the paragraphs. For Yira, in the middle of the paragraph. Rav Yehuda Omer, Rav Yehuda is going to have it a little bit more layered, a little more textured. Rav Yehuda says, "Be'emtsa shol mimnei yira umeshiv mimnei kavod." So, if you are in the middle of a paragraph and there's somebody that you are that has power over you, control over you, and your life could be in danger if you slight him, so you can initiate a greeting to him, umeshiv mimnei kavod. Now, if let's say somebody comes over to you that is an adam nechbar, a person that with honor, and you want to extend honor to him, so for that person, if you're besocha, if you're beemtza perek, so then you can only respond to him, but you can't initiate if you're beemtza. Uveprakim. Now, if you're between paragraphs, shol mipnei kavod. So there, you can initiate a greeting to somebody who's an adam nechbar, umeishiv shalom lechol adam. And in terms of responding, you can respond to any person. So that means now, according to Rav Yehuda, if you are be'emsa, if you're in the middle of a paragraph, so initiation can only be for somebody who you're scared of. And a greeting, and a return of a greeting can be done to somebody who you honor. If you are between paragraphs, so you can initiate a greeting to somebody you honor, and you can return a greeting to anybody. Now, Elohim ben Aprakim. So now that we know the halacha, well, we know the machlokis of the halacha, so now let's identify what exactly we mean when we say that we're between paragraphs. So bein bracha rishon l'shnia, so between the first and second bracha, bein shnia l'shma, between the second bracha of Shema and the beginning of Shema, the first paragraph of Shema, bein Shema l'vayayim Shemoa, between the first and second paragraphs of Shema, bein vayayim Shema l'vayomer, between the second and third paragraphs of Shema, bein vayomer l'emes v'yatziv, between vayomer and emes v'yatziv, and Rav Yehuda omer, bein vayomer l'emes v'yatziv lo yafsik. Now on this last junction point, Rav Yehuda says this is not a station. This is not a stopping point. One should not stop, according to Rav Yehuda, between the third paragraph of Shema and La'emes. They need to seamlessly go together without interruption, and we'll explain more of that later in this parak. I'm Rav Yehuda ben Karcha, lama kidma parsha Shema levayayim Shemoa. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha now is going to explain to us that there are three paragraphs of Shema. Now, it is clear that we're not following the chronology of the Chumash. The parshios of Shema and Vayah come in the Torah after the parsha of Vayomer. So clearly there is some sort of reason that's guiding why exactly the order is given in which it is. Rav Yehoshua ben Karcha is going to provide for us the reason why the Shema is given in the order in which it is given. So lama kabam parsha Shema levayam Shema kadesh kabal lav omachu shemayim. It's so that we first accept upon ourselves the yoke of heaven, the omachu shemayim, that is gained from the first paragraph of Shema tchila. That's done first. Ve'achar kach mekabal lav ol mitzvos. The second paragraph is dedicated to the theme of we accept upon ourselves to do all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and vayayim shemol vayomer. And now, as far as putting vayah before vayomer, vayayim shemol noeg ben vayomer ben valayla, the pasuk of vayah applies both during the day and at night as well. Rashi explains that it has in it the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is applicable both day and night. But meanwhile, vayomer ain't noeg ala vayom bavad. But as far as the mitzvahs of vayomer, the mitzvahs of the third paragraph, that's only during the day and not at night. Now, that's only during the day, Rashi says. Why is that only during the day? Because that's prominently the mitzvah of tzitzis. And the mitzvah of tzitzis is only noeg bayom. The pasuk says, arisa maso. You have to see them. And so there is no mitzvah to wear tzitzis at night. And so that's why the vayomer is more limited than that of the second paragraph of vayah. And that's why we have in order, first the paragraph of Shema Yisrael, ve'ahavta, which has kabbalas ol malchus shemayim, second paragraph vayah, which has kabbalas ol mitzvos, and the third paragraph, which has the mitzvah of tzitzis, but it comes third as opposed to second, because it's noeg balayla, it's only noeg bayom, as opposed to the second paragraph, which is noeg bein bayom uvein balayla. The Gemara starts off with the first point of the Mishnah, and that is the topic of mitzvahs requiring kavana. Our Mishnah, as I pointed out when we read the Mishnah, seems to indicate that if you're reading the Torah while the mitzvah of Shema comes around, so as long as you have kavana, you're yotzei. So Shema Minah, mitzvah shrichus kavana. So the Gemara's comment over here is that it seems from the Mishnah that mitzvahs do in fact require kavana. A debate that takes place a number of times throughout Shas, we're seeing it here, comes up at the end of Rosh Hashanah, comes up a number of places throughout Shas. This idea, this question of whether or not mitzvahs require kavana. And our Mishnah would seem to indicate that mitzvahs require kavana. Now, being that this is a machlokus, and we know it's a machlokus, so what the Gemara is going to try to do is see two sides of the issue. Is it possible that we can maintain that mitzvahs do not require kavana and yet read our Mishnah? So the Gemara is going to endeavor, and the Gemara is going to successfully explain that, yeah, you could do that with our Mishnah. My im kivein libo likros. So the Gemara says, as far as kavana is concerned, kavana over here just simply means kavana to read. Not kavana to fulfill the mitzvah, but kavana to read. The Gemara says, lekros v'akakari. So the Gemara says, what do you mean kavana to read? That's what he's doing. Why does he need extra kavana to read? He's reading. So the Gemara says, bekara lagia. Well, right now he's only reading in order to proofread. In other words, he's not reading for the sake of reading. He's reading just simply to proofread it. And so therefore the kavana that our Mishnah is requiring him to do is to have kavana to read it. as opposed to reading it for the purpose of proofreading it. Now, admittedly, what I just said is difficult. It's what I'm saying is Rashi's pshat, but admittedly, it's difficult. What's the difference between proofreading and reading? They're both reading. So if you see an interesting Tosus over here, Tosus gives a different pshat in terms of what it means that he's kore lahagia. Really interesting pshat in Tosus. I'm not going to go through it right now, but a really interesting pshat. But what I said is Rashi's pshat. And what we gain by saying all this is that no longer do we have to say that our Mishnah subscribes to the idea that mitzvah shrichos kavanas. You could say that the kavana of our Mishnah is just simply a kavana of doing an action, but not necessarily fulfilling a mitzvah. The Gemara now turns its attention to how to say the Kriya Shema. Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes a brisa, Kriya Shema kich sava divrei Rebbe. According to Rebbe, the Shema has to be read in the way that it is written, i.e. in Lashon HaKodesh v'chachamim omrim v'chol Lashon. And the Chachamim say the mitzvah of Shema. You could say it in any language. You are not limited to saying it only by Lashon HaKodesh. My time with the Rebbe, and what's the reason behind Rebbe? Amakra v'ayu v'av yasan yuhu. So Rebbe says, the Pasuk says v'ayu, and that teaches us not only the nusach of Shema, but how to read it. Notably, Bev Yasan, you have to read it as it is, meaning it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, and therefore it's written in Lashon HaKodesh, and therefore we have to read it by Lashon HaKodesh. V'rabbanan my time ayu, and what's the reason behind the Chachamim? Amakra Shema b'chol Lashon she'ata shomea. Since Shema opens up with the verb Shema to hear, so hearing means hearing it in a language in which I understand. And if I understand another language, I could say it in another language as well. Ula Rebbe nami haksiv Shema. Now what is each of these Tanaim going to do with the other source? So we start with Rebbe. What is he going to do with the Pasuk Shema? So according to Rebbe, what we learn out from the Pasuk Shema is the volume. When you say the Shema, you can't just simply articulate the words, speak out the words. You have to actually give volume to the words. You have to at least be able to hear that which is coming out of the mouth. V'rabbanan Savrei. V'rabbanan Savrei Lehu Kemandamra Lo Yishmael Az No Yatsa. Now the Chachamim on this very point disagrees. The Chachamim say it's not necessary for you to hear the Shema. As long as you pronounce the words, even though you're not adding volume to that which you're saying, you're just simply mouthing out each of the words according to the Chachamim, that would be sufficient. Ula Rabbanan Ami Haksi Vayu. Now what are the Chachamim going to do with the Pasuk Vayu? Ha'u mi bayi le'shalei kare le'mafreya. The Kriya Shema cannot be said out of order. The Pesukim have to be said in the order that it's found in the Chumash. So where does Rabbi learn this halacha? He agrees with this point that it has to be read in the order that the Torah provides. He learns that from the extra hey before the words dvarim. The Torah could have said dvarim, vayu dvarim. Instead it says vayu had dvarim, the hey. And that hey tells me that it can't be read l'mafreya. The Chachamim do not feel that there's an extra drasha that could be derived from the additional hey. Lememer de Sava Rebbe. So now we have a very basic machlokas between Rebbe and the Chachamim in terms of what language the Shema can be said in. According to Rebbe, it can only be said in Lashon HaKodesh. According to the Chachamim, it could be said b'chol Lashon. Now, the Gemara over here makes the next logical leap based on this machlokas. Lememra. What it would seem to indicate is the Sava Rebbe, the Rebbe's of the opinion, b'chol HaTorah kula b'chol Lashon Emra, that the Torah was given b'chol HaLashon. Now, exactly what this means, it's hard to say, that the Torah was given b'chol lashon, but certainly it indicates that the Torah was not limited to Lashon HaKodesh when it was given. Now, again, I don't know precisely what that means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah in all different languages. We know that Moshe wrote the Torah and interpreted it in many different languages for the Umas HaOlam, but what exactly does it mean that the Torah was given b'chol lashon? Not 100% sure, but certainly, the idea is it wasn't limited to just Lashon HaKodesh. Why? How do I know that? Because consider, how did Rebbe darshan the word Vahayu? Vahayu says specifically this way, meaning that there are alternative ways, but it must be done specifically this way. And that's why you see that according to Rebbe, that the Torah was given b'chol Lashon. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. It's the Gemara says it's necessary to be Mishum Diksiv Shema. Because since the Torah says Shema, so from the word Shema, I already know that it could be said in all languages, in any language. So basically, you have the tension between Vayu and Shema. So it's not necessarily true that Rebbe is of the opinion that the Torah was given in all languages. But the reason why Vayu is there to teach me that it has to said specifically in Lashon HaKodesh is only to counterbalance because the Torah also says Shema. Now we're we're going to try and go in the other direction, and that according to the Chacham, the Torah was only given in Lashon HaKodesh. Why? Because if the Torah was given B'chol Lashon, so then what would be the purpose of the Torah having to go out of its way to say Shema? Meaning, isn't the default position that the Torah could be said in any language? So the Gemara says, no, it's Derech Mishim Dekisiv Ayu. And again, it's the same thing for the Chachamim. There's a balance, meaning the Torah has the word Vayu, which is specifically in this manner. Then the Torah gives the expansive Shema, which means that it could be done in any manner. And so as a result of that, so both the Chachamim and Rebbe have to pin their hat on either Shema or Vayu to counterbalance the other word. And it doesn't necessarily inform us in terms of how the Torah was given. Now, what do we mean exactly when we say that the Torah was given in all languages, or is already expressed? I'm not totally sure, but in terms of halachically, what does that mean practically, that the Torah was given b'chol lashon? So there's an interesting Rashi. Rashi is not over here. Rashi is in Megillah. Tosfos quotes it. See the second to last Tosfos on the Amud, where Tosfos writes, Pirush Rashi Perek Sheni de Megillah Likros B'Torah. So Rashi says that if I subscribe to the viewpoint that the Torah was given b'chol lashon, so that means that for Kriyas HaTorah in Shul, so the Torah could be read in any language. V'lo nehira. So Tosfos says, no, it's hard to see that. Da Ezra tikin Kriyas HaTorah mekamen das Ezra v'hayu lamali. So that means that before Takanas Ezra, so then what was the significance of Ayu? You mean to tell me that the only application of this halacha is going to be for a Takana that was instituted well after the Torah was given? Hard to imagine. So Tosfos says that as far as the significance of this halacha, whether the Torah was given b'chol lashon or was only given b'lashon HaKodesh, so that is going to be for all the times where we have a mitzvah to read a particular parsha in the Torah. And Tosfos gives example, like Parsha Zachar, Inam Mikra Bikurim, Vidui Meiser, Parshas Chalitza. So there's a mitzvah to read a section of the Torah. And so there, if I subscribe to the viewpoint that the Torah is b'chol lashon, so therefore I have to read that section, but that section could be read in any language. Masha'enkin, if I subscribe to the idea that the Torah is only be given by Lashon HaKodesh, so then I can only read those parshios in Lashon HaKodesh. Continuing in the Gemara, we're two lines from the bottom of the Amud. So far, this morning, we finished the first parak. We talked about Yetzias Mitzrayim Balelos, and the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar ben Azari and the Chachamim, and the drasha of Ben Zoma, and the back and forth between Ben Zoma and the Chachamim, and the end of the parak, the end of the first parak dealt with name changes. Avram's name was changed, Sarah's name was changed, which changes were revocable, and which changes are irrevocable. The Gemara now is going to give us the base minimum required to have kavana for Kriyas Shema Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a braisa. Vehayu. The pasuk says, the pasuk starts off Vehayu Shalo Yikar Lamafreya. The psukim cannot be read out of order. The psukim must be read in the order that's provided within every parsha. Obviously, the parshas are out of order, as we already spoke about. But within each parsha, the psukim have to be read in the order presented in the Torah. Hadvarim al levavecha yachotei kol parsha tzricha kavana. I might have thought that the entire parsha has to be written be kavana. Tamalomer ha'ela. The pasuk says ha'ela ad kan tzricha kavana. So up until this point in time, there is a requirement of kavana. Mikan ve'elach ein tzricha kavana. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. But from this point going forward, there is no requirement of kavana. So that means that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the first, now either it's two or three psukim. Now I say two or three because that depends on Rashi or Tosfos. Take a look at the last Rashi in the Amud. Rashi says, Ad Kan, Ad Alevavecha. So Rashi takes us all the way to the third pasuk of the first paragraph of Shema Alevavecha, and it's from that point in time that you need Kavana. According to Rabbi Eliezer, from that point going forward, you don't need Kavana. Tosfos backs it up one pasuk. If you see Tosfos, the last Tosfos on the Amud, Ad Kan Mitzvos Kavana, Ad Bechol Meodecha, Sheshnei Pesukim Ela, Midvarim B'Yichud Hashem. The first two psukim are talking about the Yichud Hashem, both the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the year of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's only those first two psukim that require kavana. From that point going forward, you don't need kavana. So Tosfos just simply has the Alevecha going back on the previous pasuk. Either way, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's only the first two or three psukim of Shema that require kavana. After that point in time, there's just a mitzvah to read it, but not necessarily have kavana. It's fair to suggest that according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's preferable to have kavana, but in terms of a base minimum requirement, you don't need kavana. Amalei Rabbi Akiva, Harei Hu Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, Asher Nochi Mesavecha Yom Alevecha. Mikana Talami Shekola Parsha Kula Tzricha Kavana. According to Rabbi Akiva, the entire first parsha needs kavana. Amar Rava Bar Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva. So the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva. So right now at this juncture, the Gemara is saying that for the first paragraph, you need Kavana. For the entire first paragraph. Iga the Masna Lahad Tanya, the Gemara now suggests that it's connected to the following Braisa, Karei Shema Tzarek Shiachamin Eslibo. If you read the Shema, you have to have Kavana. Rabbi Acha Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kevin Shekivan Liba Beperk Rishon Shuv Einot Tzarech. And as long as you have Kavana for the first parak, you don't need Kavana any longer. Amar Rabba Baruchan Amar Rabbi Yochanan Halacha Kerav Acha Shamar Mishum Rabbi Yehuda. And here the conclusion is the halacha is like Rav Acha who says the name Rabbi Yehuda, which coordinates with the Rabbi Kiva of the previous Brisa. Tanya Idach, the Gemara quotes a third Brisa on this topic. Vayu Shaloi Karelu Mafreya. So we start off with the same point that we had in the first Brisa. Vayu tells us that the Pesukim have to be sent in order. Al levavecha, Rabbi Zutra Omer, Akan mitzvahs kavana mikan ve'elach mitzvahs kriya. So up until this point in time, you have kavana. From that point, it's only just reading the pesukim. Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Akan mitzvahs kriya mikan ve'elach mitzvahs kavana. Up in this point in time, it's kriya, and then only from this point going forward, it's kavana. So the Gemara says that's strange. Ma'ishna mikan ve'elach mitzvahs kriya, dichziv l'daber bam. Well, from this point in time, it's only mitzvah priya because the pasuk says the daber bam. We just need dibor, just simply need to say it. Hachinam eksi v'dibarta bam. So too here as well. The pasuk says v'dibarta bam. Hachikamer adkan mitzvahs kavana u kriya mikan ve'elach kriya below kavana. So the Gemara does a bit of editing on the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia. What he meant is that up until the first paragraph, it's kavana and kriya, and from that point forward, going forward, it's only kriya by itself. It says that you have to have it on your heart. You have to have kavana. Yeah, but in the second paragraph, it also says alavavchem. So the Gemara says, no, the second reference of alavavchem is not a reference of kavana, but it has to do with the halacha of tefillin, specifically placement of the tefillin. Tzrichin shetehi sima keneged halev. The tefillin must be placed up against your heart, and it's from there that we know that the tefillin have to be on your arm, opposite of the heart. And so it therefore does not speak to the kavanah requirement in the second paragraph, and so therefore that leaves us off with only having a requirement of kavanah in the first paragraph. Amar Mar, Rabbi Yoshi Omer, Aikam Mitzvah Kriya. We go back to the Shita of Rabbi Yoshi. From this point, it's the Mitzvah of Kriya. Mikan ve'elach mitzvah kavana. Maishta mikan ve'elach mitzvah kavana. Mishem dechsev alavavchem. Hachanami ekshev alavavecha. So the Gemara can't understand the opinion of Rav Yoshia. It says alavavchem in the second paragraph. It says alavavecha in the first paragraph. There should be no difference. There should be a requirement of kavana in the first and second paragraph. Hachi kamar. So the Gemara admits, you're right. Adkan mitzvahs kriya uve kavana. Mikan ve'elach kavana below kriya. So you need the mitzvah of kriya and kavana. And from that point going forward, kavana, but you don't necessarily need kriya. Umayshna adkan mitzvah kriya kavana. Umayshna adkan mitzvahs kriya v'kavana. Dichsiv alav avecha v'dibarta bam. Up for the first paragraph, the Torah says that it has to be alav avecha, which is kavana, and it also says v'dibarta bam, which is kriya. So asanami aksiv alav avchem l'daber bam. So in the second paragraph, also you have the both phrases speaking to the idea of both kavana and kriya. Ahu b'dibrei Torah ksiv. No, the second paragraph, it's only a reference when it says l'daber bam. It is only a reference to the mitzvah of limud Torah, meaning the l'daber bam is just simply a general imperative of the Torah that we have to teach Torah to our children. V'achi kamar, and this is what the Torah means. V'achi kamar rachmana, agmeri b'naichu, teach your sons Torah ki hecha deligarsu b'hu, so that they're fluent in Torah, and the more Torah they learn, so the more comfortable they're going to be with Torah. That's what we get from the second paragraph. According to Rav Meir, there's a requirement of kavana only for the first pasuk. So we're really paring down amongst the shitas how much is the base minimum requirement in terms of what you need for kavana. According to Rav Meir, just the first pasuk of the first paragraph. I'm a Rav Allah, Rav Meir, and Rav says the Allah in fact follows like Rav Meir. Tanya, we learned in a brisa simchas omer kol amarich be'echad marichin lo yamav u'shnosav. So if you extend the echad of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, so your days and your years are going to be lengthened. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov uvedalad. And Rav Acha bar Yaakov says it specifically with a dalad. Why is it specifically with a dalad? So take a look at Rashi over here, uvedalad, v'lo beches, and not the ches of the word echad. Dechol kamadamar ech below dalad, because by saying the first two letters of the word echad, so lo mishtamimidi, that doesn't mean anything. Uma betza be'arichaso. So good, so you're going to extend the ches. Or you're going to extend the aleph. That doesn't do anything. Aval bedal yarich, ad kishir shiyasen belibo yachid, v'shamayim avaretz ala arba richoseh kedem afarish lakamah. What you're going to do while extending the dalet. So Rashi says, first of all, the dalet gives the word its meaning. Without the dalet, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean one. And we're unifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're extending the dalet. Because during that extension, the kavanah that you're having while extending it is that you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a singular entity in this world, both in the heavens and in the earth, and the four directions. And all that is going to be accomplished during the dalet. Am Rav Ashi of Avashi lo yachta beches. Now Rav Ashi says, good, so you're going to extend the dalet, but not at the expense of the ches. The ches you have to vocalize, and you have to give it the proper vowels, and so you need to put a patach under the ches, and don't shortchange it, knowing that the dalet is going to be extended. Rav Yirmiyahu have a Yosef Kamei de Rebbi Chiya bar Abba chazei davar amar ktuva, and he saw that he was really extending his dalet. Am lekevin dam lechu lamalu lamatal abar ruchus hashemayim sulot tzricha, and the response was, look, it's too long. The kavanah that you need during the dalet is only for lamala lamata. Kadosh Baruch Hu is yichud in this world, both up and below, and the four ruchos, and that's it. And you don't need more than that. And so he chastised him for having two extended and dalet in his echad. Amar Rav Nasan bar Mar Ukva, Amar Rav Yehuda alav avecha ba'amida. So the has to be done while standing. Now it can't mean while standing. We learned at the end of the first parak of the Masechta, Machlokes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And of course, Halacha falls like Beis Hillel, that there is no requirement to stand when saying the Shema of the morning. So what does the Gemara over here mean by Amida? So take a look at Rashi. By Amida, Afila Beis Hillel, Adam Reoskim, Bemalachim, Bekorin, Umahachim, Bekorin, Modim Heim, Shetzarech La'amod, Bemakom Echad, Ad Hamikra Hazel, Lefisha, Ad Kan Mitzvah Kavana. So Rashi says a beautiful pshat. Tosfos says the same pshat as well. Rashi says a beautiful pshat that Amida over here just simply means to be still. Meaning, even though the Torah allows you to walk and say Shema, good. But for the part that you need Kavanah for the base minimum that you need Kavanah for, so you have to be still, so that you're going to be concentrating on that one pasuk that you're going to be saying, or whatever the base minimum of Kavanah is necessary. Alav avecha sakadacha alaima ad alavecha ba'amida mekan ve'elech lo. So it means that up until the words Alav avecha, it's ba'amida, and again, we're going to say like Rashi, that you're going to be still, to concentrate, and from that point going forward, you don't have to be anymore. Rav Yochanan Amar Kol Parsha Kula Ba'amida. Rav Yochanan says that the entire first parsha has to be Ba'amida. V'az Rav Yochanan Tame, Da'amar Rabba Barachanam Rav Yochanan Lachik K'Rav Achisham Mishum Rav Yehuda. And that goes back to what we learned earlier, that according to Rav Yochanan, the halach is that the entire first paragraph has to be said Be'kavana, and therefore Be'amida. Amida over here meaning while being still and concentrating. Tanur Rabban Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokein Hashem Echad Zukriyash Moshe Rav Yehuda Anasi. The Gemara quotes a brisa that according to Rav Yehuda Anasi, the kavanah is only required for the first pasuk alone. Amalei Rav leRav Chia lo chazina le Rabbi de mekabel alei ol malchus shemayim. So Rav says to his uncle Rabbi Chia. Now remember, Rav Chia and Rav were both talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. And Rav says to Rav Chia, I was in Shir many times. I was by him often, and I never saw him being mekabel ol malchus shemayim. So Amalei Bar Pachse. So he gave him a name, Bar Pachse. Say compliment, maybe not, but either way. What do you mean? His Shema is only, as far as Kavanah is concerned, as far as the base minimum is concerned, is only the very first Pasuk. So, while he's saying Shir, so he's going to cover his mouth for just a moment. He'll say the Pasuk of Shema, and that's it. That's his Kabbalah Soma Chushamayim. That's his Mitzvah of Shema. Choz v'gomra, oina choz v'gomra. Now, at a later point in time, he's going to finish the rest of Shema. Bar Kapara Omer, Eino Choz V'Gomer, Rabbi Shimon B'Rabbi Omer, Choz V'Gomer. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas as to whether or not it will be concluded at a later point in time. Amalei Bar Kapara L'Rabbi Shimon B'Rabbi Bishlam L'Didi, Damine Eino Choz V'Gomer. So according to me, it says that you don't finish it. Hainu D'Mahad, Rabbi Ashmaita Dispe Yitzias Mitzrayim. So now I know Pshat. So somehow in the morning, so Rabbi Yehudanas is giving shir. Now he stops for a moment, puts his hands over his mouth to say the first pasuk of Shema. Okay. Now, I'm going to contend that he doesn't say the rest at a later point in time. Why? Because he goes out of his way in Shir in the morning to say something about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So why is he talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim? Because he's not going to go back to the later parts of Shema. And so therefore, he wants to fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. Ela lididcha damar choz v'gomra, lama le'laduri. But according to you, where he's going to anyway at a later point in time finish off Shema, so why is he going back and why is he going out of his way to have in his shir to say something about Yitzias Mitzrayim? So the Gemara says, "Kedela haski Yitzias Mitzrayim bezmana." So he says because he's getting out an extra benefit. The extra benefit that he's getting is not only is he doing zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, but bezmana. And it sounds like from the Gemara that there's an additional qualitative advantage of not only being Zochir Yetzias Mitzrayim every day, but specifically at the same time that you're doing Shema. Now, of course, we do it anyway. In other words, we're doing it as part of the third paragraph of Shema. So if for us, it's incorporated. But for Rebbe, who freestyles a little bit, who says just the first pasuk of Shema, so for him, the reason why, even if we're going to say that he's going to anyway say the later parts of Shema at a later point in time, but still he wants to say Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Zman of Kriya Shema. Amar Rebbe Ila Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Marta Mishmei Derav Amar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad V'nenas B'Sheina Yatza. So a halacha that was said over in Rav, and that is that if you say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and then sleep took over and you didn't get to say anything else, Yotze, you were Yotze. Amalei Rav Nachman L'daru Avdei, Rav Nachman said to his attendant, to his servant, V'psuka Kamat Sa'aran Tfei Lo Titza'aran. So for the first pasuk, so make sure I'm awake. If you see me saying the first pasuk and I can't even stay awake for the first pasuk, so I'm instructing you to go bother me and wake me up. After the first pasuk, if you see that I'm starting to drift off, that's fine. Amalei Rav Yosef L'Rav Yosef Berei D'Rava Avucha Hecha Ava Avid. Amalei, and so explain to me, how did it go with your father? So Amalei B'Psuka Kama Hava Kama Mitzar Nafshe. For the first pasuk, so he would make sure that he was awake, but Tfei Lo Hava Mitzar, but not after the first pasuk. Lo Hava Mitzar Nafshe. So the Gemara has just spent a considerable amount of time discussing what exactly is the base minimum of Shema that you need Kavanah for, and presumably it was also a discussion of what is the base minimum amount of Shema that one needs to say in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Just to finish to the two dots, Amar Rav Yosef, Praktan Lo Yikari Kriya Shema. A praktan, that's somebody who's lying down on his back, he should not be saying Kriya Shema. Now, it sounds like that there's something specific about being a praktan and saying Kriya Shema, as if praktan by itself is not a problem. So Mikra Hudo Lalikre, HaMigne Shabidami. So you're telling me that sleeping in such a manner is an acceptable manner. V'ha Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Laita Mandagana Perakid. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi would curse somebody who would be lying down on his back. So there are a number of issues with lying down on your back. The Gemara over here does not speak to any of the actual issues that are involved in it. It could be an act of arrogance. It could be that there's an issue of Sheikh Vazer Levatala. There could be a number of issues incorporated with it, but it's clear from the Gemara that just the act in of itself is not to be condoned. And so therefore, why did Rav Yosef say the halacha as if there's a problem with saying Kriya Shema while lying on your back? Amrei migna kamatzli shapir dami. Mikra afagav demasli nami asr. So he says, well, if you're just lying down and you're a little bit tilted, so you're not flat on your back, so as far as the Derech Eretz and the Midos is concerned, that's fine. But in terms of Shema, that in of itself is not good. V'ha Rav Yochanan Masle V'Kari, the Gemara says, yeah, but Rav Yochanan just tilted a little bit in order to say the Kriya Shema. So the Gemara says, Shana Rav Yochanan Debal Basar Hava. So the Gemara says, Rav Yochanan, that was for his physical limitations. He was a Baal Basar. Rav Yochanan was very large. And so therefore, for him to go totally on his side would be very difficult. So for him, so a slight tilt. But for the rest of us who have the ability to lie down totally on our side, so for Shema, it is more appropriate to lie totally on your side rather than to just simply tilt or incline a little bit.